بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ألم تر إلى الذين أوتوا نصيبا من الكتاب يؤمنون بالكتاب والطاغوت ويقولون للذين كفروا هؤلاء أهدى من الذين آمنوا سبيلا أولئك الذين لعنهم الله ومن يلعن الله فلن تجد له نصيرا. أم لهم نصيب من الملك فإذا لا يؤتون الناس نصيرا. أم يحسدون الناس على ما آتاهم الله من فضله فقد آتينا آل إبراهيم الكتاب والحكمة وآتيناهم ملكا عظيما. فمنهم من آمن به ومنهم من صد عنه وكفى بجهنم سعيرا. إن الذين كفروا بآياتنا سوف نصليهم نارا كلما نضجت جلودهم بدلناهم جلودا غيرها ليذوقوا العذاب إن الله كان عزيزا حكيما. والذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات سندخلهم جنات تجري من تحتها الأنهار خالدين فيها أبدا لهم فيها أزواج مطهرة وندخلهم ظلا ظليلا. إن الله يأمركم أن تؤدوا الأمانات إلى أهلها وإذا حكمتم بين الناس أن تحكموا بالعدل إن الله نعم ما يعظكم به إن الله كان سميعا بصيرا.
We went to Surah An-Nisa and we had reached ayah number 50 last week. Today we're starting from ayah number 51. And as we had mentioned last week, the subject matter that was discussed was some of the people of the book that were residing in the same place as the Muslims in Medina at the time of the revelation of these ayahs. And they used to caused a lot of corruption between the Muslims, and they twisted the words of the books that were revealed to them so that they would not have to follow our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the subject continues right now on the same theme. Those same people of the book that did not want to believe in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the reasons they gave and the excuses they made, the subject matter is the same today. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَلَمْ تَرَ إِلَى الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا نَصِيبًا مِنَ الْكِتَابِ. Do you not see that those people that were given a portion of the book, they were given some part of the book, meaning the previous nations who were given a book from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْجِبْتِ وَالطَّاغُوتِ. They have iman on al-jibt and they have iman on al-tawut. What does al-jibt and al-tawut mean? There are a few different opinions. Umar ibn al-Khattab says, Al-Jibt means al-Sihr. Al-Sihr means magic, black magic. And al-Tawud means shaitan. And this is the same opinion of Ibn Abbas and Mujahid. And another opinion of Ibn Abbas and Abu Aliya, Al-Jibt also means shaitan. And also another opinion is Al-Jibt means al-Asnam, meaning the idols. And another opinion from Mujahid, Al-Jibt, it means Ka'b ibn al-Ashraf. Ka'b ibn al-Ashraf, there are stories related about him, which we're going to talk about in a minute, but according to Mujahid, it means Ka'b ibn al-Ashraf is the one who is being referred to as being al-Jibt. And al-Jawhari, he says that al-Jibt, كَلِمَةٌ تَقَعُ عَلَى الصَّنَمِ وَالْجَانِمْ وَالسَّاحِرْ وَنَحْوِ ذَلِكَ. That al-Jibt is a word which is synonymous for a lot of things. It means, for example, it means idol, it means a magician, it means a sorcerer, and things of that nature. Okay? So, al-jibt is a very broad word. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْجِبْتِ وَالطَّاغُوتِ. They have iman on al-jibt and al-tawut. And al-tawut generally is referred to the shaitan. وَيَقُولُونَ لِلَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا. And they say about those people that in Kufr, هَؤُلَاءِ أَهْدَى مِنَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا سَبِيلًا. They say that these people are more guided than those, the people who have iman in terms of the way that they are taking. So there's a story related to this. It's narrated from Ikrimah. They mentioned that Uyay ibn Aslaq and Ka'ab ibn Ashraf, they came to the people of Makkah. Okay, so we said that Al-Jib, it refers to Ka'ab ibn Ashraf. So Uyay ibn Aslaq and Ka'ab ibn Ashraf came to the people of Makkah, and they said to them that أَنْتُمْ أَهْلُ الْكِتَابِ وَأَهْلُ الْعِلْمِ فَأَخْبِرُونَ عَنْهُ. They said, you are the people of the book and the people of knowledge, so tell us about us and about Muhammad. So they said, what about you and Muhammad? You know, there's a huge difference between you and Muhammad. Okay? So basically, Ka'ab ibn Ashraf came to the Jewish scholars and asked them to tell us the situation. You know from your books, what are you and what is Muhammad? So they said, نَحْنُ نَصِرُ الْأَرْحَامِ وَنَنْحَفُ الْقَوْمَا وَنَسْقِي الْمَا عَلَى اللَّبَنِ وَنَفُقْ الْعَانِ وَنَسْقِي الْحَدِيثِ. We do so many good things. We enjoy good relationships, and we sacrifice camels, and we feed the water to the people who are doing Hajj. We set the prisoners free. All of these good things that we're doing. And as for Muhammad, well, Muhammad is Sambur. Muhammad is a Sambur. Sambur in Arabic, it refers to a person who has no inheritance, no male inheritance. And if you are aware of the Surah Al-Kawthar, in which the people, the enemies of the Prophet ﷺ, refer to the Prophet ﷺ as Al-Abdar, meaning that his male progeny just keeps on dying. And this is also the reality of the Prophet's kids. The male kids, he had three kids, and all three passed away. And because of that, the people used to taunt him and tell him that he's Al-Abdar, meaning that Al-Abdar refers to an animal without a tail. So he has no inheritance. So here again they said that Muhammad is Sambur. He doesn't have any inheritance. He doesn't have any male progeny to take over him. He has broken relationships, and he has caused disruption between us. And the people who are the bandits that basically attacked the Hujjaj, these people are the ones that are following in his footsteps. So, are we better or are they? Or is he better? Are we better, meaning the people who do all of these good things, or is he who is doing these so-called bad things? So, basically, in response to that, they said that of course you are the best ones. Okay? So, this refers to this ayah, that these people, when they were asked, instead of giving them the knowledge that they had about Muhammad, they gave the wrong answer, and they said, هَاُولَٰي أَهْدَى مِنَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا سَبِيلًا, that the people who are doing kufr and disbelieving in Prophet Muhammad, they are in fact on the right path. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ لَعَنَهُمُ اللَّهُ. These are such people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has cursed. وَمَنْ يَلَعَنِ اللَّهُ فَلَنْ تَجِدَ لَهُ نَصِيرًا. And whoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala curses, you will never find any person to help him. There is no helper for that person to whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has cursed. After that, Allah says, أَمْ لَهُمْ نَصِيبٌ مِنَ الْمُلْكِ فَإِذَا لَا يُكُونَ النَّاسَ نَصِيرًا. Or do they have some portion of kingdom or property? And if they do, then they are so stingy, لَا يُكُونَ النَّاسَ نَصِيرًا, they don't even want to give the people from that property even one naqeer. Naqeer refers to, if you open up a date and you look in the pit of the date, there is on one part of the date, there is a hole, and in that hole, the residue or the remnants of the date is called naqeer. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that these people of the book, they are so stingy that even if they were given some kind of property or anything, they would not even want to part from it, just that little portion that is found in the pit of that day. فَإِذَا لَا يَكُونَ النَّاسَ نُقِيرًا أَمْ يَحْسُبُونَ النَّاسَ عَلَى مَا آتَاهُمُ اللَّهُ مِنْ فَضْلٍ. Or are they jealous of such people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them from His own blessing? فَقَدْ آتَيْنَا آلَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ وَآتَيْنَاهُمْ مُلْكًا عَظِيمًا. Why are they being jealous? When, if we look at the history, that how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave respect to the people of Israel, to the children of Israel. If we look at the beginning of Surah Al-Baqarah, mainly all of the first verse talks about the respect and honor that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave to the Israelites. يَا بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ اذْكُرُوا نِعْمَتِيَ الَّتِي أَنْعَمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ وَأَنِّي فَضَّلْتُكُمْ عَلَى الْعَالَمِينَ. O Bani Israel, remember the blessings that I gave you and the fact that I gave you prestige of all of the world. Okay, this was the prestige that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave to the Israelites. And the whole ayah basically reminds the people of Bani Israel of this prestige and how high they were in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And indirectly it also talks to us, or basically indirectly it talks to us, that don't follow in the footsteps of those people that made the mistake that after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed them with so much that they went astray. So the blessing was given to them, and many people they disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and because of that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala punished them and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cursed them. And this is the result of this is, or the lesson from that is, for us, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if He gives you a position and if He gives you a blessing, you should be appreciative of that blessing, and you should thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that blessing, and you should show more obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because He has blessed you with so much. So Allah says, are they jealous of the people because of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them from His fadl, from His blessing? So you can have, many, fadl can mean many things. One thing is the prophethood has been taken away from the Israelites and is now in Bani Ismail, in the children of Ismail, because Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not from Bani Israel, it was from Bani Ismail, from the progeny of Ismail alayhi salam. So this fadl was taken away from them and given to Bani Ismail. So this could be that meaning, or the respect that now they have, that this ummah has in face of Bani Israel. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds them that look, فَقَدْ آتَيْنَا آلَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ الْكِتَابَ. We also gave the people of Ibrahim the book, meaning guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ibrahim alayhi salam, he had two sons, Ishaq and Ismail alayhi salam. From Ishaq was Yaqub alayhi salam. Yaqub alayhi salam, also known as Israel, his children, 12 tribes, and from those 12 tribes, many, many prophets came from them. Musa alayhi salam, and Isa alayhi salam, and Harun alayhi salam, and Yusha ibn Nun, and so on and so forth. So many prophets, and even from the relatives of Ibrahim alayhi salam himself, Lut alayhi salam, who was the cousin of Ibrahim alayhi salam. So in that family tree, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave so much, and so much honor, and so much blessing. So Allah should be saying that look, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has got this prophethood now, but look at your own family and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given you so much before. So we gave the people of Ibrahim the book, meaning guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wal hikmah and the wisdom from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَآتَيْنَاهُمْ مُلْكًا عَظِيمًا. And we gave them a very big kingdom. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them so much honor and so much prestige, and even gave them from worldly goods. The story of Yusuf alayhi salam, who is from, of course, the children of Yaqub alayhi salam, how he became the leader and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed him in a worldly way, was, after he had made so many sacrifices. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did give them so many things from the worldly things also. So basically Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying there is no place for you to be jealous of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his followers, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala already gave you so much of the same prestige and the same honor in your family tree. فَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ آمَنَ بِهِ وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ صَدَّ عَنْهُ وَكَفَى بِجَهَنَّمَ سَعِيرًا. So some of them, they had Imam Ibrahim alayhi salam, and some of them, they turned away from him. So it can be also mean, so some of them they had iman on the Prophet Muhammad, and some of them they turned away from him. So some of the people of the book, they did become Muslim from the Jews and the Christians, and some of them they turned away from him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَكَفَى بِجَهَنَّمَ سَعِيرًا, and Jahannam is enough for them to be an abode for such people who turned away from the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. After that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes how will be the people in the hellfire. One of the most moving verses of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا بِآيَاتِنَا سَوْفَ نُصْلِيهِمْ نَارًا. Indeed, those people that reject our verses, it is very close that we're going to enter them into the hellfire. Okay, so look at the connotation, look at the context in which this verse is being talked about. People, they basically say point blank that the people of the book, they are going to go to Jannah. And this is incorrect. The people of the book that came before Allah, the Prophet, they had iman in the Prophet, they will go to Jannah because they practiced the deen that was correct at the time. For those people that did not get the message of Islam and they are practicing Christianity and Judaism according to what they understand of it, and the message of Islam has not got to them, then maybe they can fall under this category. Or those Jews and Christians that got the message of Islam and adopted Islam, those people can enter Jannah. But those people that get the message and they reject the message, then their abode will be the hellfire. And this is what this verse is talking about. And this is very, very clear in the Quran. And you know, some people want to be kind of politically correct, but our religion is our religion, and we have to be very clear about the teachings of what the religion teaches. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا بِآيَاتِنَا سَوْفَ نُصْلِيهِمْ نَارًا. Those people that reject our verses, they will enter the hellfire. Okay, so we have to have a compassion for those people. We don't want anybody to enter the hellfire. We don't want people to be punished. So when we don't want that to happen, then our compassion should compel us and it should force us to try to bring these people closer to Islam and teach them what Islam is all about. Teach them about the Tawheed, teach them about the true message of Islam, and for them not to fall prey to the negative media exposure that Islam is getting nowadays. Okay, so we have to have that compassion, and unless we don't have compassion and mercy and love for the people that we give da'wah to, then our da'wah is baseless. Okay? Well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent our beloved Prophet as Rahmatul Alameen. He only sent you as the mercy for the world. And the mercy that he had made him stay awake at night and pray for those enemies that were doing their utmost best to destroy him. This is the level of compassion that we are supposed to have in us too, so that we make dua for those people who are astray so that they get guided. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, those people that reject our verses, so for Muslims now, it is close that we are going to enter them into the hellfire. كُلَّمَا نَضِجَتْ جُنُودُهُمْ بَدَّلْنَاهُمْ جُنُودًا غَيْرَهَا لِيَذُوقُوا الْعَذَابَ. Every time their skins get burnt up and get wasted, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, بَدَّلْنَاهُمْ جُنُودًا غَيْرَهَا. We will give them new skins, we will give them another skin. Why? So that they can continue to take the punishment. So what happens? One could think that a person is being burned, okay, the flesh and blood is gone, so the person is not going to be in any pain anymore, he's destroyed. No, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put a new skin on him. And that new skin will keep on coming back so that they can keep on tasting the punishment. It's narrated that Ibn Umar narrates that a person, قَرَى رَجُمٍ إِنَّ عُمَرْ هَذِي الْآيَةِ. A person recited this ayah in front of Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So Umar radiallahu said, أَعِذْهَا عَلَيْهِ. Repeat the ayah for me. فَعَذَهَا. So he repeated it. So Mu'adh ibn Jabal, who was there at the time, he said, عِنْدِي تَسِيرُهَا. I had the tafsir of this verse that obviously he must have heard from the Prophet ﷺ. He said, تبدل في ساعة 100 مرة أو تبدل في ساعة 100 مرة but in each hour the skin is changed 100 times. So ساعة actually traditionally in Arabic ساعة doesn't mean hour. ساعة means just a moment of time. Because in those days there was no concept of having an hour 60 minutes. So ساعة means a small portion of time in which according to this tafsir the skin will be changed 100 times and as soon as it's changed it will burn and it will this process will continue being repeated. So Umar رضي الله عنه said هكذا سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. I also heard the same thing from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. So كلما نضجت روح بدلناهم بروح غيرها هي روح العذاب. Each time their skin gets burned, then we will change for them another skin so that they can continue to taste the punishment. Inna Allah kana azizan hakima. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is Aziz, the Almighty and Hakim, wise. وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ سَنُدْخِلُهُمْ جَنَّاتٍ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارُ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا أَبَدًا. And as for those people who had iman and they did good deeds, most certainly we will enter them into Jannah, into gardens. Underneath which will be flowing anhar, rivers will be flowing underneath them. خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا أَبَدًا. And they will stay in them forever and ever. لَهُمْ فِيهَا أَزْوَاجٌ مُطَهَّرَةٌ. In these Jannah, they're going to have purified azwaj, purified women, meaning mutahara, meaning they'll be pure from all kinds of blemishes and faults that the women of this world have, in terms of the impurity of the body and uncleanliness, any kind of thing that could be deemed as a fault or as some kind of thing that we frown upon or we don't like or we dislike about women, they will be pure from those things. وَنُدْخِلُهُمْ ظِلًّا ظَهِيرًا. And we're going to enter them into shadows that will be lengthened. And of course the concept of a shadow, particularly for the people who lived in the desert, in the hot heat, any kind of shadow was appreciated. And the fact that Jannah is going to have beautiful and long shadows, cool shadows, it was something that they would have appreciated very much. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that we will enter them into a dhimna walila, meaning lengthened shadows in which they will relax. Inna Allah ya'murukum an tu'addul amanati ila ahliha. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He orders you that you should give the trust to the people who own those trusts. Basically, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this verse is telling us that we should fulfill the amana, which is part of iman. That a person, he gives the amana back or does as he's supposed to do with something which is entrusted to him. This is a sign of a mu'min. And the opposite of Rasulullah said that the ayat of munafiqi, talaqun, idha haddath kadhab, wa idha wa'ada aqlab, wa idha tumina khan. That the munafiq, he has three signs. When he talks, he lies. When he makes a promise, he breaches that promise. And when he is entrusted with something, he breaks that trust and he breaches that trust. So we should not be amongst those people that breach the trust. In every single aspect, there are so many different aspects of trust that we can imagine. First and foremost is the amana that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. That to have iman, to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to be good Muslims, to be obedient for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is an amana by itself, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that He presented this amana to everything, to the mountains and the earth and the trees, and they all refused to take up the amana, but the human being, he took up this amana. So we've taken this amana and we said that we're going to be obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so we have to fulfill number one, this amana. Secondly, the amana that of trust that people give us in terms of money or something for safekeeping, to return that trust. Or they give us money to give to somebody else, to safeguard that trust and give it to the person as it should be given. And thirdly, the that when we hear a secret or somebody tells us something confidential, we should not disclose that confidentiality to anybody else, because the person has entrusted us with an amana that we should not breach that amana to anybody, and this is also a type of amana. And there are many, many others, other types of amana that we should try to fulfill. This verse was actually revealed about Uthman ibn Abi Talib and his family. And it is reported that when the conquest of Mecca took place, then all of the everything came to the Prophet ﷺ in terms of the control of Mecca, and amongst the things that came to the Prophet ﷺ were the keys of the Kaaba. Okay, so he entered the Kaaba, broke the statues and everything that we know what happened. But after he came out, you know, this he called Uthman ibn Abi Talha and he gave him back the key. And he said, "Inna Allah yaqrukum an tu'tul amanati ila ahliha." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered us that we should give back the amana to the people of that amana. So it's reported that that key has stayed in the same family since that time. It was in the family before the time of the Prophet ﷺ, and after the conquest of Mecca, it returned back to that family, and the key of the Kaaba has been in that family ever since. So, some Mufassirin say that this verse was revealed about particularly the keys of the Kaaba. But, al-ibratu bi'umum al-lafz la li-khusus al-mawarid, that the wording in the Quran is always very general. So, the generality of the term, the generality of the wording, it means that it addresses every single person who reads this or hears this and understands this, that the amana should be given back to whoever has entrusted us with this amana. وَإِذَا حَكَمْتُمْ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ أَنْ تَحْكُمُوا بِالْعَدْلِ, and when you judge between people, you should judge with justice. You should judge with justice whenever you judge. Whether the person is, you know, your own family, you know, and you have to judge against him, then you should judge against that person. And there are examples of this where the Prophet ﷺ, he judged against, you know, so-called Muslims, the munafiq. He came to the Prophet ﷺ for a judgment between him and a Jew. And the Prophet ﷺ, despite the fact that he claimed to be a Muslim, he passed the judgment against him and for the Jew. So he was upset, so he took the case to Umar radiallahu anhu. And Umar radiallahu anhu, he said, if he found out that the Prophet ﷺ had already passed judgment for him, against him, so he said, just wait for a minute. He went inside, he got a sword, and he killed him right there and then. That you got the judgment from the Prophet ﷺ, and then you come and ask me for a fatwa. In this day and age, we call it fatwa shopping. Okay, you don't get the right answer from the scholar, so you go to somebody else. Okay, so this is, you know, something that Islam teaches us. Whether the person likes it or not, you have to be just in your dealings, even if that person that you're dealing with is a Muslim, and the person that you are ruling in favor of is a non-Muslim, you have to pass the correct judgment. When you judge between people, you should judge with justice. إِنَّ اللَّهَ عِلْمَ يَعِذُكُمْ بِهِ. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is inviting you to do something very beautiful. This is something so beautiful. The whole society, if it is based on justice, and people pass judgments with justice, then the whole corruption in society would be annihilated, it would disappear. But unfortunately, what is happening, particularly in our countries, what happens? Well, you know somebody, and you know that somebody is going to take a bribe, so you approach him, and then he pulls a few strings, and the person who is a criminal, he gets off scot-free, and the person who is not guilty, he goes to the gallows, and he's punished for something that he did not do. So, because of this bad influence that is happening in society, you know, the whole society is corrupt. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us such a beautiful advice that all your dealings be just. And when there is justice in society, you will find the society will be a wonderful place to live in. إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ سَمِيعًا بَصِيرًا. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is Sami'an, He is listening to everything, and He is Basir, He is watching everything. So don't think that if you are being unjust, there's not going to be accountability for it. You may have got for free in this world, but in the hereafter you cannot escape the justice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because He is Samir and He is Basir. He is listening and seeing everything. So be careful what you do. So with this we finish the lesson today. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to understand and practice all the things.